Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, listeners. This episode is sponsored by iTalki. It's difficult to improve your fluency in English on your own, but you don't need to do it on your own. You can use iTalki to get some speaking time or English lessons with a native speaker and build your English in the most natural way possible by using it to communicate. And iTalki are offering all of my listeners a free voucher worth 100 iTalki credits when you buy some lessons. To get that offer, go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click one of their logos on my website. Okay, now here's a new episode and here we go. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Luke's English Podcast. How are you doing out there in podcast land? I hope you're doing all right. Here's a new episode, and this one sees the return of the pod pals Amber Minogue and Paul Taylor, which means that the talkative trio are reunited on the podcast once more. Time was pretty tight for this conversation because Paul was working to a very strict schedule on the day that it was recorded, which was yesterday in my flat. As you will hear, Paul arrives a little bit late because he was having lunch with some TV industry people, and then he has to leave before the end of the recording to be interviewed on the radio because he's so hot right now in the world of showbiz. Amber has also been very busy recently doing various things, including writing and rehearsing a play, so it's been hard to get the three of us in a room together all at the same time. As a result, this episode was arranged at the last minute and the conversation was completely unplanned. All I wanted to do was to catch up with the two of them and ask them the usual question, what have you been doing? So you will hear that things carry on quite rapidly and there are plenty of the usual tangents, those moments when the topic suddenly goes off in a different direction. It might be hard for you to follow, so to help you keep up, here is a basic summary of the main things that we talk about. And you'll find these notes that I'm reading from here in this introduction written on the page for this episode, including some words that you might hear in the conversation, but you don't know. Like if you hear certain words and you're like, what's that? Oh, what's that? I don't know that word. Check the notes on the website. You might find that those words are actually written there. You might want to check out these notes to see any words you've missed and to check their spellings and things like that. Okay, so here's a rundown of the things that you're going to hear in this conversation, just to try and make it a little bit easier for you. And here's some background music while we're doing it. All right. So, first of all, Amber tells me about the play for children that she's been working on with our friend James Simpson. Paul then arrives. You hear the buzzer buzzing, the door buzzer buzzing, and he comes in carrying a bag containing a new iPhone 7, still in its box, which he collected from the shop earlier in the day. It's a present which all his friends bought for him a few months ago for his 30th birthday, organised by his lovely girlfriend. We all chipped in some money and got him a new iPhone. Not bad. We're good friends. Amber tells us some more things about her play, including how it contains a few slapstick moments, meaning some funny scenes of fairly violent physical comedy involving a first aid box and some marshmallows. Apparently, at one point in the play, James hits Amber over the head with the first aid box. By the way, a first aid box is a box that contains basic medical supplies for administering first aid. That's why it's called a first aid box. It contains things like plasters, bandages, antiseptic, tiny scissors, and maybe some other things that no one really understands. Also in the play, they fight over a marshmallow, which Amber wants to dip into her tea. And this leads us to talk about dipping things into cups of tea, like marshmallows and biscuits, which then causes us to talk about what you put in your tea when you've run out of milk, which actually happened to Paul the other day. His solution was to use whipped cream as a substitute. Whipped cream is that stuff that comes in a kind of a can and, you know, you squirt it out of a can. That's whipped cream. And that leads me to ask the question of whether you really can put cream in tea. And we agree that you can definitely put cream in coffee, especially a particular type of coffee which is served with whipped cream on top, which in France is called a café viennois, which I think translates as a Viennese coffee or a coffee from Vienna. And that causes me to ask what they call a Viennese coffee in Vienna, speculating that they might just call it a coffee, which leads to a similar question about the French phrase crème anglaise, which translates literally as English cream. But in the UK, we just call it custard. Are you following this? Are you managing to keep up with this? I hope so. This is meant to be the explanation to help you deal with the conversation later on. So, custard. I then ask Paul and Amber to explain to you, my audience, what custard is. And Paul suggests that instead of us explaining it at great length, you could just Google it. I then remind Amber and Paul that it's necessary to explain some words sometimes, like, for example, the word custard, because this is Luke's English podcast, and it's probably a good idea to explain words sometimes. This then prompts Amber to comment on the way that I seem to choose to explain words fairly randomly in my episodes, like when I recently spent quite a lot of time explaining the word flea in a recent conversation I had with my dad on this podcast. We then go back to talking about food, and we talk about typical English puddings, which can be served with custard, including crumble, sticky toffee pudding, and the oddly named spotted dick. I refer to spotted dick as a dessert, which causes Amber to comment that it's actually the wrong choice of word, and that I should say that it's a pudding, not a dessert. This brings up the slightly confusing and long-running debate about the correct choice of words to describe certain things in Britain, especially in relation to the dinner table. This all relates to British rules of etiquette and language in polite society, perhaps relating to French vocabulary that we sometimes use in English. We don't talk about this very clearly, and it might be a bit confusing for you. And really, the whole subject of the rules of British etiquette and social class deserves an episode of its own. But nevertheless, in order to clear it up a little bit, here is a quote from a book called Watching the English by Kate Fox. Kate Fox is a social commentator who writes about social behaviour in England, and Watching the English is a good book that explains many things about English life, and this is what Kate has to say about the words pudding and dessert in English. Oh, and by the way, both these words are used to refer generally to sweet food which is served after the main course. You have the starter, then the main course, and then the pudding or dessert. And your choice of the word pudding or dessert seems to depend on your level of class. And apparently, according to upper class culture, the word dessert is vulgar. And so this is what Kate Fox wrote about this in her book. She wrote, "The upper middle class and upper classes insist that the sweet course at the end of the meal is called the pudding, never the sweet or afters or dessert, all of which are déclassé and unacceptable." So according to upper class etiquette, pudding is the correct term for the sweet course that sometimes comes at the end of the meal. Fine. Amber seems to think that this is because the word dessert is of French origin, but I'm not sure. By the way, in some places, for example in France or in Japan, pudding is a specific kind of dish. For example, in Japan, pudding is a sort of caramel or custard cream dish. But in the UK, it just means the sweet course at the end of the meal and can include all kinds of things like cakes, pies, ice cream, trifle, Eton mess, bread and butter pudding, or even jelly. For example, you might say, "What's for pudding?" You know, "What's for pudding?" "Oh, we're having cake," for example. Hopefully it's cake, because cake is obviously the best thing in the universe. Yes, it is. It is. Yeah, cake is the best thing in the universe. That's a fact. All right. I'm getting completely sidetracked because I'm multitasking, because the music turned off and I'm now trying to find some more music to have in the background. Here we go. All right. So So, what's for pudding? Now, I try to explain all of this, but I can't manage it. Instead, I end up saying, this is Tangent City, when I realise that we keep going off on mad tangents, and it's probably quite confusing for the audience. That's you. Our talk of pudding then causes us to start talking about Pudong, an area in Shanghai, and specifically the Pudong River in Shanghai. Paul tells us a little bit about that, and then there are a couple of references to the slightly rude-sounding English words poo and dong, before things settle down a bit and we start talking about Paul's recent showbiz news, including how he's going to be interviewed on a radio station called Wii FM later in the afternoon. So we go from poo to Wii in just a few sentences. At one point, Paul nearly uses quite a clever word, the word concise. But then he doesn't use it, preferring instead to choose a more simple way of putting things, using the least words possible, which actually means, like, that's actually a synonym of the word concise. Are you still following this, ladies and gentlemen? There will be a test at the end. There won't really, it's just a joke. So, we then talk about responses to Paul's recent videos, including a few YouTube comments and some criticism he received from a very serious person in an email. The criticism was in the email, not the person. You can't put a person in an email, not even a serious person. Things then get quite geeky when I start talking about cameras and microphones and the challenges of capturing good audio when you're recording videos. And there's some talk of different types of microphone, including boom mics, lapel mics, dynamic mics, and shotgun mics. But then Amber decides it's all getting a bit too geeky, and we move on to something else. We make plans to hang out again on Thursday on the set of Paul's TV show while they're doing some filming, and we decide to record a podcast while we're there. So that might be an upcoming episode. It might be a podcast outside on some kind of TV film set. TV film set, does that make sense? TV set or film set, yes. Following on from my recent episodes about accents, I ask Paul and Amber what their accents are and what they think my dad's accent is, and we talk about that for a little bit, and then Amber declares her love for my dad. Apparently she loves him. Then Paul has to go for his radio interview on Wii FM. That's Wii, the French Wii. O-U-I. Wii meaning yes. So Paul has to go for his interview on Wii FM and he leaves. And Amber and I carry on and talk a bit more about her play before having a massive conversation about Christmas, which will probably be uploaded in a forthcoming episode. So, I hope that that helps you understand what you're about to hear from the tangential trio in this conversation. But now, without any further explaining, here is that conversation as it actually happened. And here is, indeed, a certain jingle which I'm trying to find on my computer because I'm doing this all live. Here is the Amber and Paul jingle coming up right now. Here it is. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers will be my choice. Yeah. Okay. Right, so Amber's with me. Hello, Amber. How are you doing?
Hi, Luke. I'm good. Thank you.
Excellent. All right. Have you been busy today?
Very busy.
Really?
Yes.
What's going on?
I am rehearsing. I have a play on Wednesday, which is in 2 days.
Yes.
Which I've been working on for a really long time with James, who's been on this podcast a number of times.
Yeah.
Talking about football, probably.
Yeah, football and Would You Rather.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we wrote a play and for the school I work in, it's a bilingual school, and it's their Christmas play, and it is Wednesday.
Right. 2 days.
In 2 days.
Are you ready?
Yes, we are. We are. But it's, you know, we're sort of pretending. We've not done it before, but it's a completely new play, so there's no idea if it'll work. So we're sort of talking to my sofa and saying like, oh, hello. And, you know, because it's for children, primary age. Yeah. So they're from sort of 5 till 10.
Okay.
So we're expecting them to laugh. So we've got lots of sort of pause for laughter, hopefully, moments.
So it's completely original.
Yes.
Okay. And you've never performed it before?
No.
Have you done plays for kids before?
Oh, good question. I mean, I've done lots of plays before.
Yes.
Yes. Well, James and I met at the same theatre school.
Right.
At Jacques Lecoq. And there's a lot of playing there. Have I done it for children? No, not really. But I've done lots of theatre for children.
Okay.
Like drama. I do drama workshops and clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah, the two of you both are involved in sort of theatre workshops for kids, teaching drama to children.
Yeah.
Are they bilingual kids or are they French kids?
These kids are bilingual kids. So it's nice and easy. Hopefully they'll understand everything.
Yeah.
But obviously with any play, you need to sort of slow it down a bit so that the kids get it. And they're also a bit slow. They're only 5 and 6. They're not quick.
I thought you meant they're a bit stupid.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, no, they're not stupid. They're good. They're all good. But we obviously don't want to just do it for these kids.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're not going to get any money.
That'll be Paul Taylor.
Let him in.
Yeah, I'm going to let him in.
Luke is battling his way to the door. He is getting over there. He's opened it up. Paul Taylor is in the house.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Luke's English podcast people. I actually arrived on time. It's just that Luke's lift takes half an hour to come up the stairs.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
You've been waiting down there for about 25 minutes, waiting for the lift. The door. It's the door of the lift.
Yeah, it takes
the door takes about a decade to close.
To shut. I know. Actually, when I got the lift up, I thought maybe I should have sent it down for you, but I didn't.
Yeah, that's
sent it down for me.
That would have been thoughtful, but I thought about it. I'd already left.
Okay, well, great. So, okay,
he's got us Christmas presents.
I know. I got my birthday present 2 months later.
Nice.
What?
Check it out.
Yeah.
Yay.
iPhone 7.
iPhone 7.
So, all right. So, Paul has just turned up, and he's got a goodie bag. It's like Santa has arrived.
Santa's arrived, but it's just for me.
He said that he couldn't get here on time because he was doing something important. This is what you were doing.
No, I was buying
an iPhone.
No. I was doing other stuff. The iPhone I picked up this morning. From my friend Adam. I don't know if you met Adam at my birthday, at my actual birthday, which was 2 months ago.
Right. And what is this, the official birthday?
Because the time that the iPhone was out of stock and, you know, we're all a bit lazy because Addy had organised a Cagnot thing.
Yeah.
And thank you for contributing if you did. I think you did.
Yeah. Did I? I don't remember.
I don't know. I feel like you did.
I tried to,
I've got to take a photo because I was like, and she was like, you've got to thank people. I'm like, I will thank them with a photo of me on the new iPhone and being like, hey, I just got my new iPhone, everyone. Thanks for contributing. So I just got it today.
Well, happy birthday for a couple of months
thanks
ago.
Thanks very much.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
So Amber and Paul are back on the podcast.
Oh, yes.
Jingle.
We were just talking about what Amber's been doing. She's been preparing for this play, which is happening on Wednesday.
With James. Where's James?
He's teaching this afternoon. He's gone off and we've exhausted ourselves.
Okay.
Really?
Well, there's all sorts of... It's a bit slapstick. He knocks me unconscious and get thrown around quite a lot in this play.
I think he knocks you unconscious and you get thrown around a lot. Sounds
quite violent.
Yeah, it's not...
It's a bit panto-y, isn't it?
Panto. You
know? Right, okay.
Well, we're going to have to explain.
I wasn't sure that was allowed nowadays.
What, knocking around?
Well, knocking around women, just for stage value.
It is in our play.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they break the rules. They break the rules in their
rules
play.
For kids.
Yeah, because kids, you know.
We've got
kids.
To lead by example.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to show the kids what real life is like, right?
Yeah, exactly. Punches me around the face a couple of times.
Really?
Well, he hits me accidentally with the first aid box, which means that... he hits me accidentally, like we hit heads against each other.
So, all right. So, you accidentally hit each other.
We have an argument about a marshmallow. And then...
Right.
As you do. And then we accidentally bang heads when we both try and pick something up together, which causes me to have a nosebleed. I sit down. He looks for the first aid box. He finds it and in a big gesture knocks me around the face with it. I fall off the table and he gets a bit confused because he can't see me anymore. And then I sort of make a groaning noise and it frightens him and he hits me again with the first aid box,
right,
knocking me unconscious.
That's the great irony of using the first aid box as a weapon, even accidentally.
Yes, exactly.
And so it's written from scratch, right? It's not based on another play.
Exactly. We wrote it from scratch. And that's part of the problem because we keep tinkering with it. Mm-hmm. Like the marshmallow scene, we have been changing that marshmallow scene for months, it feels like.
What was the decision behind the marshmallows? Why did you choose to include marshmallows? Is that significant?
The marshmallow scene is we're postmen. That's the theme of the play. We're okay. getting the letters ready to send to Santa.
Right.
We're not efficient postmen. We keep sort of messing up. And while we should be doing our work, we have a cup of tea.
Right.
We're English,
yeah.
And we want to have a little biscuit, but biscuits break and get really messy, and so we chose a marshmallow instead. There's only one marshmallow left, and the scene is just us trying to like trick each other to get it back and forth.
I see.
From each other's
grasp. So you're
grasp.
Trying to steal the marshmallow, the last marshmallow.
Yes.
Have you ever dipped a marshmallow in tea before?
No. Have you?
Do you do that?
Do you dip marshmallows?
No. I'll tell you what I did this morning, which is probably similar to that.
Okay.
There's no milk in the fridge.
Oh no!
No milk in the fridge for the tea in the morning.
Oh god!
Oh, no.
What do you do, Luke?
Well, just don't have. Just sit down and start crying.
Okay. What do you do, Amber?
I actually have tea without milk.
You have tea without milk.
I'm a heathen.
I went one better. I had tea with whipped cream.
Oh!
There was whipped. I opened the fridge. There was no milk, but there was a. Bit of whipped cream. Actually delicious.
That's delicious.
It's actually tea with the whipped cream.
But
it's delicious.
You don't normally do that, right? I mean, you wouldn't normally put cream. Would you put cream in milk?
I've done it before. Cream in milk.
Yeah.
I think.
Sorry. Cream in tea.
But you can put cream in coffee.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
type of coffee, you know, when they call
cream
it coffee. A special coffee, like
Americans
a cafe
viennois
or something.
Coffee with whipped cream.
Yum.
There's a special name for it, which, you know.
Oh, yeah, it is a cafe viennois.
Viennois. Yeah, that's
so,
what they call it in France.
A Viennese coffee.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's with whipped cream. So why not tea? Why should coffee
it's
get all the...
Nice.
So they call it, in France, they call a coffee with whipped cream on top a Viennese coffee. Mm. So I suppose in Vienna, they just call it a coffee.
I'll tell you what. I'm going to Vienna next weekend.
I bet they don't. I think a coffee in Vienna is just an espresso.
So why are the French calling it a Viennese coffee then?
Yeah,
why do French
call
it crème anglaise?
Crème anglaise, exactly.
What do they call crème anglaise?
Custard.
Custard.
What's custard?
English cream. So it's crème anglaise.
Crème anglaise.
Custard is a sort of a yellow, sweet, hot sauce that you serve with certain types of pudding. This is Luke's English podcast, right? Certain things have to be explained, remember?
In the most non-sexual way possible.
Way you'll talk and talk and talk and talk and it'll be really complicated and then someone will say... a flea in his ear.
Right.
And then you'll go into great lengths about what a flea is.
Well,
like one small... thing
yeah.
is explained.
Well, yeah, because one small, fairly insignificant detail, sometimes, there's a lot to be gained from that. Because you've got like a very high context situation, like talking to my dad about, you know, Brexit.
Everything.
And this context that everyone's sort of fairly clued up about the context, so the little words they don't understand.
There's no headlines about custard right now, so you have to you do have to
sometimes
you have to explain it.
Sometimes these little details have to be explained, you know.
Well, maybe other people don't have custard because what they call crème anglaise
isn't really custard.
Exactly, we translate it as custard, but it's not. It's a much thinner, soggier, wishy-washy version.
But wait a minute, right? The thing is, right, my listeners are now going, oh, this is fun. Amber and Paul and Luke are talking about something. But wait a minute, what's custard? We still
Google
need
it.
To... But, no, don't
This
just...
isn't an educational podcast. We're just here to talk, okay?
It's my job to maintain certain educational standards, around here. So,
sorry, you're right.
They could just pause the podcast and Wikipedia it, but they don't even know how to spell custard.
Mm.
So, you know, it's our job to just sort of smooth
not
things over.
Not to be confused with the Spanish y custardo.
What's that?
What's that?
It's the same. I was just.
Is it the same thing?
Just being stupid,
okay.
And it would be Italian anyway.
So what the hell is custard?
You described it. It's a hot yellow sauce,
mm-hmm.
which you have with pudding,
which is a sweet hot yellow sauce.
It's sort of vanilla flavor, isn't it?
Yeah, it's made from eggs, and you. It's really nice with like a crumble, like an apple crumble, and a little bit of custard.
Oh yeah. Lovely.
Or a chocolate pudding.
Right.
Some sort of chocolate thing with custard.
Or a sticky toffee pudding.
Sticky toffee pudding. Or a spotted dick.
Spotted dick.
Mm.
Which is the most ridiculous name for a pudding
ever. It's incredible,
ever.
Isn't it?
What
do we get away with that?
I don't know. I don't think we have got away with it.
I think we have.
Spotted
have
dick.
We? Spotted dick.
People. So spotted dick is a British dessert. Or maybe even an English pudding.
Don't call it dessert. That's vulgar.
Is it? What's wrong with calling it dessert?
Any French words.
That's vulgar.
Apparently.
Really? Is
dessert a French word?
Yes. So wait a minute. Why is that?
Well, I don't know.
Why is that vulgar?
I don't speak
it's
French.
An old-fashioned thing, you know, that there's quite a lot of switch between English and French.
Yeah.
But there are words which, you know, you just mustn't use. It's considered like pardon. Like if someone says something and you don't hear them, you should say sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Not pardon.
Why not?
You should say, well, because pardon is French and not English.
So what you're saying is when you're speaking English, you shouldn't speak French.
Yes.
Does that apply to other languages too? Are you not allowed to use, let's say, sort of Chinese words as well?
I don't know. But I mean, English is made up of a million different words stolen from other people. So I don't know why they've got this random rule about French words.
I guess what you're talking about is rules of etiquette and rules of politeness and stuff, right?
Yes, it's a sort of old-fashioned snobby thing.
There's some rule book that was written by someone which says you shouldn't use these old... But I thought that some of the French words were the more posh, sophisticated words.
I don't know.
Like, I think that these things are up for debate, but...
Well, for example, like serviette.
Yes.
Mustn't say that.
You mustn't say serviette.
Napkin.
You should say napkin instead.
Even things like mirror.
Mirror?
Looking glass.
Oh, come on.
Well, I'm just saying, that's the rule.
Incredible.
Perfume, mustn't say that.
What do you say?
Scent.
Scent?
Yes.
No, cologne.
Cologne.
That's ridiculous though, isn't it?
I don't think it makes any sense, but these exist. So what are the posh French words?
Well, all of them, aren't they? Because most French words, when
like
you use them...
Like perturbated.
Perturbed.
What? Whatever it is. I don't know. I just made it up. Perturbed. Perturbé. I'm perturbed.
I think often when you use...
That's a posh word in English. If you say that in English, people will go, oh, hello, he's very educated. Mm.
It's true, because there's so many French words in English. I don't know why some have been chosen to be mean.
I've never heard this. I've never heard this myth.
I think it's arbitrary when people are starting to use these rules about whether certain words which have a French origin are like not right or not acceptable or not appropriate. That's just arbitrary. Yeah, isn't it?
Hashtag Brexit, that's why. It's like, well, we don't want to be part of Europe. We don't want to use your language either anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's this actually, Amber. Oh, this is Tangent City.
I know. We've gone off from your play. Oh. No, but hold on. There's a big debate about whether a pudding is a dessert. Like, because pudding. Is it a type of dessert? Is it a type of dessert, though? Or is it just...
Oh, my goodness.
The name for the end of the meal?
Don't get me started. Pudding is a generic word for, you know, what you have at the end of the meal.
That's what I say.
In France, the French have convinced that pudding is a specific dessert. Type, it's wrong.
Not just
wrong.
In France. In Japan as well, they have the word pudding. And that's a very specific form of dessert. Like the way, in France... Pudding is like a sort of trifle or a blancmange or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Similar in Japan, they have
and
pudding.
And in Shanghai, they have pudong, which is an area in Shanghai.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. So
pudong.
Yeah. Okay.
It's O-N-G instead of I-N-G.
Pudong.
Pudong.
Okay.
If it's, Shanghai is incredible. Like, if you look at photos from 15 years ago, the area that's now called Pudong is flat, like marshland or like farmland. And then now it's where all the big... If you ever see a skyline of Shanghai and you've got the tower that's got like a ball in it, like the Pearl Tower or whatever it's called, that whole area is called Pudong. It's like the Canary Wharf.
Okay. So it used to be called Pudong as well?
Yeah, Pudong means... it sounds rude, but it actually means... I think it's east of the river, because it's east of the river. And then there's poo something else. The river's called the River Poo.
Really?
Yeah.
They have a river of poo?
The river's called River Poo. I think so. So people in China will tell me if it's wrong, but I'm not going to look it up. But I believe I'm just going to go with the fact that the river is called the River Poo. Or it's called the River Dong. But I know that Pudong means something to do with the river. It means east of the river or west of the river.
To be fair, both of those words are quite rude, aren't they? Because poo, obviously, we all know what poo means.
And dong.
And dong, well, what's a dong?
Easy. It's something...
It's a penis.
It's a penis. Let's just get straight down to it. It's a penis, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting. So they have Pudong River.
Pudong River. Yeah.
Okay. Can I just...
As usual, we've gone off the rails.
Obviously, we're very excited because the three of us are here on the podcast and there's not much time because we've got a time limit on this one.
Yeah. Why do we have a time limit on this one?
I'm just busy, unfortunately.
Unfortunately? Modesty.
Yeah, unfortunately for Luke's English podcast listeners who like to listen to the three of us banter... I've got another meeting at 4 p.m. I've got a radio called Wii FM.
You're on the radio.
FM. Tell us about all your busyness, Paul.
Business. I can't even remember the last time we spoke. What was happening the last time we spoke? What was?
I've got the info. Got the data.
Just not to repeat the same old.
Well, okay.
No. So
the last time that you were on this podcast, Paul, was in episode 395, which was called Have You Ever with Robert Hayne.
Really?
The last time that both of you were on this podcast was in September in episode 381.
When was Have You Ever?
That was October.
Okay.
And September was when the two of you were on this. And okay. we were talking about cultural differences.
Okay.
And we were on the terrace.
And we were upstairs on the terrace because the weather was still nice.
And I haven't been on since October.
So around the time of discussing cultural differences, we did mention the fact that, you know, you were developing your TV show and your YouTube show.
Yeah,
but I don't think it had started to be aired at that point.
I don't think so.
No, it might have been when Robert came. I think when Rob came, it had started.
Yes.
So yes. Yeah, the TV show What the Fuck France, which is a great title because we're allowed to do that in France. We're allowed to call a title and have fuck in the title, which is great.
And that show was on like at lunchtime on a Saturday. Yeah,
it wasn't just the title. It was quite a lot of fucks.
Oh, there's quite a lot of fucks in the episodes. Yeah,
in the episode, yeah.
We did one where it was just over the top.
It's full of swearing.
We've calmed down now.
Yeah, you have.
But yeah, that's going well. We had 10 episodes. That was how many we started with. They gave us 10, which you both helped write, and you're always in the credits, which is cool.
Awesome.
So yeah, I mean, it's a group effort, really. And then they gave us 15 because the 10 would take us to mid November.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, let's give you 15 because it's going well so that it takes us up to the Christmas break.
Uh-huh.
And now we've been extended again until the end of July next year, end of June next year. So we've got about another 20 to write.
Amazing.
Which is cool. So that's happening. And that's very exciting. I'm still doing my hashtag Franglais show.
Yeah, the one-man show.
The one-man show twice a week, which is cool.
And is it sold out?
It's sold out until mid-January.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So brilliant. So that's cool.
How many seats are there in the room that you have?
There's 110.
When are you moving to a bigger venue?
Permanently, probably in September.
September?
September?
Yeah, because it's just the way it's difficult to get, like, you book rooms like a year and a half before you show up, like, yeah, because they book, they're really booked out. So September, but what we're going to be doing, we're going to try and do every month up until then is do a special one-off in a bigger theatre. So I'll always be 2 days a week at the regular place.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I suppose and then, it creates a sort of buzz, you know, people have to book in advance.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see how it goes. So that's been happening. And what else has been happening?
You had lunch?
I had lunch. I had lunch with some very interesting people.
Steven Spielberg, George Lucas.
Nah. George Clooney.
Nah. George Clinton.
George Clinton.
Is yeah.
I don't know.
Never mind.
No, I had a
musician.
A lunch rendezvous with some book people.
Oh, yeah. Book.
Maybe I'll make a book.
A book.
Nice.
Love it.
Okay. Maybe I won't. I don't know. We'll see. So that was interesting. And then, it's just it's lots of meetings that sometimes lead to stuff and sometimes don't.
Yeah.
And do you have anything that you particularly want to do? Is there some sort of burning desire for your next project?
Do you want a cup of tea?
A cup of tea would be great.
I don't know. I can't multitask.
Can't multitask?
No.
Sorry.
Sorry.
What do I want to do next? I don't know. We're doing to the end of June for this thing, and then that's it. We're going to be done because I want it to be done because it's fun. It's great. I love it. But you know, just move on to something else.
Right. You want to do something
new? What do
you
like best, the writing or the filming?
Filming's more fun than writing. Mm. I don't really like writing that much.
No.
No. It's stressful. I don't know. I just don't like. I mean, I don't write really for my stand up.
It's not really the funnest part, is it? I mean, it's,
the writing.
I mean,
filming, it can be if you're into it. If you're in, like,
cool.
There's some people that are really into writing, and I'm just not. Yeah. I can't get stuff out of my brain onto a sheet of paper or a screen.
Yes,
I have to like do it out loud.
Yeah,
which is what I do for my stand up. I've never written my show in its entirety word like on a piece of. I've just written keywords, you know, so that's the more difficult thing is trying to figure out, okay, cool, this is a 2.5 minute video. How do I get from the beginning, which is, hey, this is annoying for three reasons, and then come back around and do it in the most, the least amount of words possible so that it's got them. It's just, I guess it's kind of like a maths puzzle.
Mm. Yeah, you nearly said the most concise way there. And then you opted out of the words.
I was going to say, what did I say?
You were like, then you have to do it in the most, just using the smallest words possible.
Yeah, because I was trying to say concise, but what I was coming out of my mouth was conservative. I don't know why.
Okay.
I stopped. I was like, smallest amount of words possible.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks for giving me that word.
Play it safe. Yeah.
Concise.
Concise. Conservative. Yeah. No need for politics right now.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant.
And so, that's what's been happening.
And so now, so you're having lunch, people are offering you book deals, they're throwing themselves at you, they're mad for it.
Wow.
And then this afternoon, you're leaving Luke's English Podcast to go on WeFM.
WeFM radio.
So it's a bit of a young person's radio.
I don't know what it is.
I
don't know what it is.
What?
We radio.
Yes, FM.
WeFM. Yes, FM.
Oh, we like French we.
Yeah.
I thought you meant we like, you know, us.
No.
So, oh,
you know,
No. It's the girl who got in touch is English or Scottish, and works on the show and does a segment. I'm not very prepared for it.
What's the segment about?
I don't know. Something to do with English. She's going to talk to me about my show and Christmas because that's coming up.
Yeah.
I think it's just it's not really a cultural differences show, but I guess she presents a show that I guess she talks about stuff.
I imagine so.
Yeah, rather than just playing music like this, you know.
Right.
She's I don't know if she's a DJ, she's a journalist. She introduced herself as a journalist. I can't remember the message now.
Okay.
But I know that it's just I don't really know.
It's in French?
It's a great question. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know any of these things.
You don't need to worry about it.
What I'm trying to do is to get Addie, my other half, to quit her job to be my manager so I know about this stuff.
Right.
So that I can concentrate on the artistic stuff rather than bothering with all the admin.
Okay.
That's a good plan.
Yeah. But it's in the works, you know.
Lots of different projects in the pipeline.
Marjorie, she's not French then. Sorry, not English. I don't know where I got the fact that she's English.
Marjorie could be English.
Paul is now checking through his emails.
Yeah.
In order to find
out. Desperately scrolling.
Scrolling, 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 scrolling. Okay, so that's Paul's crazy life. And are you actually famous now?
No, but people recognise me.
He's a bit famous.
People stop me in the street now.
I recognised you. Every time I see you, I recognise you.
People stop me in the street and like, oh, you're the guy from the thing. And I'm like,
and you're
yeah.
like, yes, I am in a thing.
I am the guy from the thing that you maybe think I am from, which is, it's fun. Everyone so far has been very nice. I haven't had anyone come up to me like, are you the guy from that show that makes, piss off back to your country?
But then you did do a really funny little update with you and Rob and you were in bed and you talked about the trolls.
Yes, the internet people.
I presume you didn't choose the meanest one. I mean, have people been generally quite nice to you?
Well,
most people have.
You talked about that.
Before he was told to go back to his paedophile island.
Oh, yeah, that's right, your paedophile island.
That was just with La Bise. That was just the first one. But no, people in general, I mean, the internet blows up. Surprisingly, there's fairly okay comments online. On YouTube, which is strange, but there's obviously one or two, you know, that just some guy wrote me a really long email, like that takes 20 minutes to read.
Oh God!
In perfect French, not one spelling mistake. Some guy who's very well educated but very left politically, and basically broke down point by point why two of my videos were not on point for him and not correct. I'm like, mate, I'm just joking.
It's just a joke.
Like he goes on about, like, I do a video, there's one of the videos episodes about strikes and how they inconvenience me,
right.
and I'm saying I have to send a box of wine to my grandmother in England, which first of all I don't. I'm not sending anything to England.
Well, it's already a joke. No one's going to send a box.
Yeah, exactly. But the guy was like, oh, first of all, you know, this, that, and the other in France was based on the fact that strikes were the beginning of negotiations and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I get that strikes are a social thing and they're good.
Yeah.
I'm just making fun that all strikes happen on the same day and I can't send a box of wine to my grandmother. You know,
like he can't argue with the fact that you can't send your box of wine to your grandmother.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I understand why I can't, but I still can't send this thing to England.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like,
if strikes are inconvenient to you, then that's what they're supposed to be for. They're supposed to inconvenient people. I just find it weird that, like in England, strikes are the last resort. We start by talking and go, hey, we'd like to change our working conditions. And then if eventually the company goes, nah, we're not doing it. Then the people go on strike. Here, they start by going on strike, going, hey, we want to talk. And then the negotiations happen afterwards. It's an interesting phenomenon.
That goes back to our cultural differences discussion that we had last time.
Do they go on strike, though? I kind of think the reason French people go on strike is it seems to actually work. I feel in Britain, people go on strike and they're like, shut up, get back to work.
Yeah, a little bit. That's probably a lot of what it is.
And toleration. I mean, this guy, he wrote you this long email, and I understand like he's mental and he doesn't get the bigger picture. But there is a sense in France that when people go on strike, although it inconveniences most people, there is still this sort of feeling of like, yeah, we understand what you're doing. Whereas in England, people are like, what the fuck? Get back to work, you lazy, you know, dudes. Yeah. So work shy, blah. So I think there's this, we talked about this before, totally different sort of attitude. But
Just different strokes for different folks.
But after all, it's a joke.
Exactly.
He wrote you this massive email and then you were like, oh, you mean, so you don't get it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he gets it, but he was like, you know, I don't want you to take it the wrong way. Like, I still like what you do, but you know, for these two topics, then I don't agree. Like, the other one was the French administration. The fact that I was trying to open a bank account and the blah, and he went off on a rant like, this isn't the French administration. These are private companies that have got nothing to do with the French government. Blah, you know, and he's right.
Yeah.
In both of his comments.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, with these people that go a bit crazy, I just want to be like, have you not once been on a train that's been delayed or something because of a strike and you've gone, for fuck's sake, why are they, you know, shut up then. Of course, so you have.
It's just what you're doing is just describing a personal experience, an individual's personal experience, and just sort of...
And exaggerating it, obviously.
Yeah, the exaggerated frustration of a personal experience for comic effect. Now, you're not trying to write a critique of society. No, exactly.
But also what Paul does, which I think lets you get away with it, is, I mean, he's very like charming and endearing on his shows, but there's also something, you know, he's often getting it wrong. That's some of the point. Like, he's getting it wrong, and and French people are like, yeah, but, and you sort of say that without saying it. Like, I'm, oh, France, I don't understand this. And at the end of the day, it's often like, yeah, but that's the whole point. You don't get it.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're mocking yourself as much as you are France or the French system. And so that's why it's nice. Like, you aren't saying... globally just, mean things.
I mean, but that's cool. It means we're doing something right. Like, if we get that reaction, it means that something's working. You know,
do you write back to them or do you tell them?
No,
don't feed the trolls.
It's just there's no point because there's no way like somebody like that. There's no way I can just whatever I say. It's just he's going to come back with something else about. Mm. Well, you know, you're in a power of influence because you know it's been watched how many times and people might start changing their opinions because of it's not worth getting into. It's just like, all right, cool, thanks, you know.
If you end up sort of trying to respond to each single thing, then no, you're just not going to have time to do anything else
ultimately.
Well, we've caught up. Luke, have you told us what you've been doing?
I've just been doing the usual things.
What's this camera here, Luke?
So I bought a camera, which...
looks like you're trying to film yourself doing a...
Yeah. I'm going to be doing some more filming and stuff like that. I was thinking of filming us today, but just, you know, couldn't quite get it together in time.
Oh, is that Zoom the same company that make the voice recorder?
That's right. So I bought this Zoom video camera, which is the same company that makes the recorder that I use for the audio. And the reason why I've bought this is because I was looking for cameras that I could use for doing... you know, obviously we're doing videos a lot of them don't have good audio.
Yeah, they're awful.
Terrible audio. And if it's, I'm looking for an affordable camera that does, you know, decent video with good audio.
Lapel mic.
A lapel mic.
Yeah.
And this camera has got a mic input at the back. There you can see the red thing. Mm-hmm. So that means I can actually plug the... so I can be doing the podcast, right?
And the sound's going directly into the camera.
And I can do the sound recording like I normally do, but then the audio can go out of the headphone jack and then into this camera. And it captures the audio perfectly. So anyway, I'm just experimenting, basically.
It's cool.
And the
microphones that are attached to it, they do sound obviously pretty good as well, better than most camcorders.
So if you don't plug a microphone, an external microphone into it, then it's still capable of picking up decent audio.
Very cool. Have you done video podcasts? Is that what you're...
I'm going to mess around and experiment. I might do some episodes of this podcast where I also have the video camera running and it'll sort of capture the video and then there'll be an optional video for people to watch. Or I will produce some actual, you know, specific videos that are just video. And, you know, I could either put them on YouTube or just put them on my website or do other things. And plus, I'm working on another course. I'm working on a course that I've mentioned every now and then on
your
my
business
podcast.
Stuff.
Yeah, I'm doing. I'm working on producing some content, which is basically an attempt to sort of try and put as much of what I know about teaching business English into one course. I'm trying to, you know, I've been doing this podcast for 7.5 years, and it's always been general English, but I've been teaching business English for ages, you know, for like 10 years, but I've never done any business English content because I've always been sort of saving it, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
And rather than doing like just giving it all away or sort of mixing it in with this,
you're going to turn it into a business.
I'm going to turn it into something and I think there'll be a lot of value to it if I can manage to get the quality and all of the combined knowledge and experience that I've got into one thing and then give it, you know, make it available, then
yeah, it's good.
I think it could be good.
I think it'll be really good.
That's it nowadays, isn't it? Like if you're a content creator, you create content, whether it's funny stuff, whether it's serious, like, you know, learning stuff, is always a balance, even books, anything, like it's a balance between what's free and what isn't, you know, like, you know, people, you know, a lot of the guys that, you know, like comedians, stand-up comedians, they have their jokes and they have a show, but then sometimes they go on TV and it gets recorded and then it gets put on YouTube and then those jokes disappear. Like they can't use those jokes again, really. Yeah. You know, it's the same sort of thing. Like if you'd done all your business English class on your podcast, then you've got sponsors and stuff like that you get a bit of money for, but you know, if you want to make a living out of it, it's difficult.
Yeah,
as content creators.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a work in progress. So I might be using this video camera to do that, but also I might use this to just add content onto my website and sort of, you know, do a few videos with the podcast as well. And it's just my new toy as well to an extent.
It looks cool.
Yeah, I'm using a GoPro mount to clip it to the table.
I like it.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah.
I realized recently how important sound is on video.
Ah, yes.
I made a video of Hugo.
Yeah.
And the sound is abysmal. And that video was wasted.
How did you make the video?
It was my sister's idea. She wanted to deliver. He's really into dinosaurs. So she wanted to deliver this little dinosaur egg to him and pretend that a dinosaur had left it. So she recorded these dinosaur sounds and left the egg on the doorstep and knocked on the door and then went away. And then you could just hear these dinosaur going. And she'd set up her camera, which is just on her camera.
Yeah.
And then he came out and was like, "What's this?" And picked up the egg, but you cannot really hear it. Just hear dinosaurs.
Oh, I see the video footage. You can't really hear
him talking.
Hear it properly.
No.
Yeah, it's really difficult to capture decent audio when you're doing video. And, you know, you either use lapel mics where you attach a little mic onto someone's shirt or whatever and record them that way. Or you have like a boom that they use on TV shows where there's like a big stick and a microphone on the end and there's some guy whose job it is to hold the microphone in the right place and they have to make sure the microphone doesn't dip down so that you can see it in the video.
All the time for
all the time.
I'm sure it happens
because our camera's moving. Yeah, as you know, the camera moves a lot and we've got a steady camera. Right. And we've got in French, I like the term perchman, a perchman, because the microphone's called in perche, because it's on a perch, it's like a microphone. And
a
so
boom.
A boom, yeah, a boom operator.
Yeah.
And so he's there with his little recording box and the boom mic. And sometimes we have to redo takes because at some stage it's like somebody will shout, "Perche!" Which means like mics dropped into the frame.
Right, I see. Yeah. I did a bit of that on work experience jobs at the, you know, TV companies doing the news, being the guy holding the microphone, and you have to make sure that you're pointing the microphone on the end of the boom, you're pointing it at the people who are speaking, but you're capturing the sound properly, but the microphone doesn't sort of peek into the video frame.
And they're super sensitive.
Sensitive, yeah.
Because those ones are like shotgun mics where the range is like that much. So as soon as you move the mic to the right or left, you lose it sounds off. Like it needs to be really,
making a visual reference.
Yeah, it's like a cone, you know, it's like
he's demonstrating a small amount of space.
Well, the microphones that we're using here, they pick up from all over the place.
Well,
these
microphones that we're using pick up from only a few inches away from the microphone. So if I just, let's say if I keep talking, but I've got my hand away from my mouth, like at arm's length, you can't hear it, but it really captures the sound right up close to the to the microphone. But what you need to get decent sound is very sensitive, a very sensitive microphone. Mm. But if the microphone is far away from the person, like this,
then,
you know, either your microphone's got to be super sensitive, in which case you're going to not only pick up the person, but all the other sounds in the area, like the bus going down the street and the plane flying over and stuff like that. So that's when you need the shotgun microphone, because it's sort of very directional. Essentially, it's a microphone at the end of a tube. I know you're probably thinking.
We've gone too geek.
Yeah, we
think let's move on.
You shouldn't have asked.
Sorry.
Yeah, you asked.
It was my fault.
Yeah.
You'll see it all tomorrow, Thursday. Thursday, when are you coming?
Yeah,
Thursday.
We're going to come and hang out on set on Thursday.
Yeah, are we going to do a live podcast on set?
Yeah, that would
be cool.
That's the plan, yeah.
Because we're going to be, I think on Thursday, we're going to be most of the day in one place, which is good, an English pub. Because it's the alcohol episode.
English pub?
In an English pub.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So,
and will there be beer?
Oh, there's beer at the place. Yeah, we've already shot there once. In fact, the latest episode, it was on YouTube. The English people, French people speaking English.
Right.
Where there's like a speed dating thing going on. That's in that pub.
Which one is it? Do you know?
It's called...
The Bombardier?
No, I was going to say it's called The Hideout. No, but that's not right.
Yeah, there is one called that.
Yeah, it's not that though. It's not far from Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know when we're there, but that'll be cool to do a live
The Long Hop.
The Long Hop. I thought it was Long Hope.
Oh really? I thought it was Hop.
Well, whatever. That's
matter.
Where it is.
But what's going to happen now is that people might hear this before Thursday and they'll all rush to this pub and it'll be like Beatlemania. People will be travelling across the globe.
We'll have all the Russians showing in and they'll be rushing to get there. We got it in.
Oh God! Congratulations!
Did you point your listeners to the Parks and Recreation?
No, that's.
You should put that up there.
So there's a TV show called Parks and Recreation, an American show, and apparently the Russian joke appears in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a slightly different form, but very
it's pretty much the same thing.
Did you see it?
Yeah, when you sent the video, you sent the link. I watched it, but I don't really remember it now.
Yeah, there's various incarnations of that joke.
If you don't know what we're talking about, the Russian joke. What happened was, so me and Luke were doing a show.
No,
don't have time.
Don't do
we don't
it.
Have time.
We've only got about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, I've got 4 minutes because I'm going to go for a pee before we leave.
Four minutes
before I leave.
I did make a video to explain the Russian joke, which is available
hilarious. That was very funny. I like that.
So if anyone wants to know what the Russian joke is, which I'm sure someone will be like, wait a minute, what is this? Then I'll just forward the video to you and you can see it.
So you're going to publish this podcast before Thursday?
Well, yeah, it depends on whether I get.
Well, it doesn't matter anyway because in chronological. They'll hear this will come out before the live on set one.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's cool. Right. Yeah, that's the plan.
Well, that's going to be fun.
And then so we'll get together on Thursday afternoon in an English pub, which is just perfect.
I mean, it couldn't be any better, could it? Really?
Yeah. So you'll be filming, and we can do little bits of podcasting while that's happening.
We might need you as extras in the pub as well.
Cool.
Which
perfect.
Is fine. And they'll be like, oh, can you pretend to drink? Can I just. Real drink, please.
I'll take a method approach to that role. What would Robert De Niro do? That's basically how I'm going to approach
alcohol.
It. I do have other questions for you. I received one or two questions on the website. I think that we can cover these in 2 minutes.
Go on then.
So I did recently some episodes about accents. Mm. In response to a question about my dad's accent, like, what's your dad's accent? Is he posh? Is my dad posh?
He's educated. He's got an educated RP accent.
Mm-hmm.
So there's RP, which is like you, and then your dad's he's a bit older. He's got a bit more gravitas to his voice, and he sounds quite educated and measured.
You're a fan, aren't you?
Your dad.
Yeah.
I think he should comment. I think he should have a regular slot where he just tells us what's going on in the news. I like the way he effortlessly knows all the names of everyone. Like, I might know about French politics, but he's just like, he knows the names of people in Austria, in Italy. He knows everything and can sum it up beautifully. Get your dad on more often.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be a regular guest. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Okay.
Very cool.
All right. So my dad's educated, not posh, but...
He's not... For some people, yes, he would be posh, but he doesn't have that sort of overly posh sort of...
hello! That kind of thing.
Exactly. He's just got that very educated RP accent.
Right, okay. Second question about accents. What are your accents?
Ooh.
What's Amber's accent, Paul? How would you describe, like, because we judge each other on our accents, don't we?
Yeah,
we do. Without
a
we
lot.
We shouldn't, but we do.
I don't necessarily judge on, like, I judge by where they, I don't even really know where they're from. I'm not very good at telling, like, social status or
but
anything
if
that.
Someone your name's Paul Taylor, is it? Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. So you make videos on what is it?
Yeah,
the
then
internet?
I'd be like, yeah, you're
like posh.
Posh, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, we're like, oh, are you Paul Taylor? Are you?
Well, that would I'd just be more like, yeah, you, like East London or South East England.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. What would I say your accent? I've got no idea. What? Your accent for me is just a very nice, normal accent.
Yeah.
How would you describe your accent, Amber?
Just RP, I'd
RP,
say.
Yeah, just, me too.
I mean, RP / Estuary. I mean, there's that sort of just south.
It's not heightened RP like that. Oh, I'm speaking like the royal family. Not like that. It's standard RP.
Yeah.
Maybe slight traces of that southeast estuary English, but not a lot, really.
No, not so much.
Not a lot.
And I mean, the St. Pauli's got quite a neutral accent. I mean, RP kind of covers a wide range because it's just, I think it's the sort of like how people speak or definitely used to speak in television.
So when Americans are like, oh, your British accent. And you're like, well, British accent is there's loads of them.
Mm.
Mm, it's tons. What about Paul's accent, Amber? What would you say?
Well, it's not far from RP either. I think it's perhaps a bit softer than mine.
I reckon Paul does speak RP because his accent is
very clean and
pretty neutral and clear and all that sort of thing. Although I think that there are traces of his sort of Kentish roots.
Mm.
So, for example, I heard you... We had this conversation the other day, actually, when I saw you, and you said the phrase native speaker, but he went native speaker.
Yeah.
So dropping the T.
Yeah, I do that a lot. If I speak quickly, then the T's don't exist for me.
Yeah.
They turn it the glottal stop.
So you said native speaker, not native speaker, which is the sort of thing that you would, you know, associate with a regional accent in the southeast.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's RP, neutral English, but with some regional traces.
To the southwest, I don't know.
I think there's two things, though. There's accent, how you speak, and then there's the words you choose. So your
dialect.
Vocabulary, yes, exactly. And then the rhythm. So, you know, some people speak slow or fast, and that has an influence. So Paul speaks relatively quickly, you know, and he's using just very...
basic words.
No, that's not what I'm
because
looking.
I don't know. I don't.
Younger,
I don't know the words.
No, like young. Like, you know, it's like you might use more slang than I might do, or like his words are a bit younger because you are a bit younger than me. And I think that's
actually.
As well.
I think the kind of English that Paul speaks is like really a good example of like plain clear English because you don't use a lot of fancy words.
No.
You just say like. Before we had, you know, when you were about to use the word concise, and then you didn't,
and then I forgot the word,
and you said just you know the shortest number of words or the smallest number of words,
which
is like actually very clear, pragmatic way of communicating.
And a lot of people tell me that after my show, like you know, French people who say, "Oh, my English is terrible, but I understood everything that you said on stage."
Mm.
Compared to, you know, if there's four of us performing, like often people say that Rob with his American accent is very difficult to understand.
Yes.
I think it's just a lot of that was spending 5 years delivering training sessions at Apple to everyone who was not. We did it in English, but no one spoke English natively.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think subconsciously I did that. And what's funny is that I think when I do use posh words that come from French, it takes people by surprise more so than anything else. Like if I say perturbed, because I've forgotten how to say that, whatever it is.
Yeah.
People don't understand because I pronounced it wrong.
Perturbed, whatever.
But
I don't use that word. There's another word I'm thinking of, but I'll use that because I can't think of the English equivalent.
Right.
So I just say the French because I know it exists in English.
I think your English is like, you know.
Then people go, whoa, where did that word come from? It's because it's French. Oh, okay.
I was going to say that I think your English is very plain and clear, and also there's not a massive amount of idiomatic stuff in there.
Yeah.
Like
actually.
Your whole book here, the Oxford Book of Idioms.
Yeah, I've got a book of idioms here, but you know,
it's flat as a pancake.
Very clear and simple, and not a lot of idiomatic or metaphorical language.
Mm. Yeah, and Paul is really good at communicating. He's really, really clear, and this comes across, in, you know, when you talk amongst friends and also on stage. And it's true, like my sister, she speaks really nicely, but she uses so much slang and so many idioms that people like Nico, my boyfriend, he was just like, God, I thought I spoke English till I met your sister. She is like the test to see how good your English
Addy
is.
Addy was like that the other night when we...
She's really tough to understand.
We ended up at the same sushi restaurant together randomly on Friday night. Addy was like, there's just some things that I've got no idea what she's saying. And it's not because she doesn't speak clear, it's because of the words and you know, the idioms. And
Exactly. Yeah, her English is really clear, but I mean, full of idioms, really hard to understand it. What's the time?
I have to go.
What's the time?
I have to go, unfortunately.
You've got to get to
WeFM. I have to get to WeFM.
Yeah, go and get on the radio.
Yeah.
From podcast to radio.
In 2 minutes.
The multimedia life of Paul Taylor.
Is it live? Can we tune in?
It's a good question. I don't know if it's live.
I mean, you don't know anything. It's in French and English if it's live.
Wouldn't that be funny if you're still on the podcast, you just get turn it on. You're like, oh, Paul's back on the podcast, but he's live on radio. I don't know if it's live. I'll text you. I'll let you know in case you're still podcasting. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Sorry I couldn't offer you a cup of tea this time.
No, that's all right. I was late. And LEPs, you know.
In the house.
In the house. Lepsters. I missed you all. And hopefully I'll be back soon.
Yeah, hopefully Thursday.
All right, then we'll see
Thursday. Yeah, we'll do a live podcast on Thursday.
And I would like to have you back again before Christmas in order to do a Christmas episode.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to do something Christmassy, I usually do. But it'd be nice to talk about what you're doing for Christmas and Christmas crackers.
I'm in England 18th to the 22nd.
Ah, right.
But, the 22nd.
Basically, this Sunday I leave and I come back...
All right.
The 22nd.
I don't know if we're going to get you on then before Christmas.
Maybe not.
All right.
Well, Thursday.
Christmas Day. Podcast.
I've got to go. I've got to go for a pee.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. Bye.
Bye, Paul. Bye, Paul. Paul's out, and I'm actually going to turn down that microphone so that we don't hear him going to the toilet because that would be a bit awkward, wouldn't it? All right, so there you go, Amber. Where were we?
Do I still need to hold this?
No, you can. You don't need to hold that microphone anymore. So where were we?
Where were we? Oh gosh, I don't know. Exciting. There were so many things. We were talking about the play. I feel like I've not caught up with your news sufficiently.
I don't have a great deal. I don't really have much news. It's it's the same old thing really.
That's it really. I've just been doing the play, trying to get in as many rehearsals as possible, and it's not always easy because I've got a little boy and James has got two kids.
Yeah.
So the other day, like, Hugo was sick, so he took the day off, and then we were trying to do the marshmallow scene and he just couldn't take it. He kept throwing himself at James and trying to get the marshmallow back to give to me. Give it to mummy.
Right. Is he speaking now?
Yes, and he's very funny.
Really? And it's English?
English, yeah.
And French?
A little bit, not much. Okay. Mainly English.
All right. So English is that his first language?
Yeah.
Really?
Definitely. He knows some. A little bit, but I was just saying, Hugo was sick, and then he was watching it, but he kept getting involved, kept trying to attack James
because James was battering me over the head.
Partly, yeah, he was battering me, so that wasn't very good. And then we had another rehearsal, and Eloise was like. Hit her head on the table and then had to be taken to hospital. And then Jules was sick. So,
these are James's kids.
Yeah, exactly. So then they end up getting cut short all our rehearsals. And,
But generally, how are you feeling? You're looking forward to doing the show on Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye, Paul.
Goodbye.
Bye. Enjoy the radio.
Yeah.
See ya.
I'm listen for you. Am I enjoying it? Yeah, definitely, because we wrote it ourselves, so that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. We made the play specifically for the school, and it's really nice to get back on stage and do some sort of theatre, because that's what James and I trained to do. It's really fun working with James, because he's really nice, and hopefully, we'll see how this goes. If it's really good, we'll take it around schools in France. So we're going to try and take it to French students and like sell it to them, because they're learning English.
Yes, absolutely. I would like to get you and James onto the podcast to talk about it in a bit more detail. I don't know if we've already done it now. We've covered it fully. But what I wanted to do was actually see if you guys could even do a little scene from the play for us.
Yes, I think we could definitely do a little scene from the play. A lot of it is quite physical.
Yeah.
Because it's for kids.
Yeah.
And we find that funny. That's what we find funny.
Physical humour.
Yeah, exactly. Like, being knocked out or, like going crazy, but some of it is more word based. There's a couple of scenes which are pretty, which we could definitely do on the podcast. Mm.
Well, I have this camera now. I could even video part of it, but I don't know if we've got the right stage exactly. for that. Yeah, but that would be fun to have the two of you on talking about that. All right, so much to do. I want to talk about Christmas. I want to do some Christmas-based stuff. We're going to get together during the filming of Paul's mm-hmm. episode on Thursday. Maybe we can combine mm-hmm. that with some Christmas chat.
Yeah, definitely. We can talk. What are you doing for Christmas?
I am going back to my parents' place, of course, as usual.
As usual.
Yeah, on the 25th.
With your lady?
With the wife, that's
right. With the wife?
Yeah, so we're going on the 25th.
Christmas is really different in France to England.
Do you think so?
I do, yes.
What's the difference? What's the main difference?
Well, so much stuff.
Right then. So, that was Amber and Paul there on the podcast again. You heard at the end that Amber and I started talking about Christmas there. And in fact, we went on to talk about it for ages and ages, like over an hour of chat about Christmas shopping, Christmas games, food, family traditions, our Christmas plans for this year, and pretty much everything else relating to the festive time of year. And that conversation will continue perhaps in the next episode, certainly in an upcoming episode. So you can look forward to listening to that. Over an hour of Amber, that lovely voice of Amber's. We talked a little bit there about Paul's English in that conversation, and I just wanted to say a couple of other things. Basically, I wanted to clear up something about Paul's English, because I've read several comments or heard people say things about Paul's accent that aren't really true. So the thing that I've sometimes read is that people say that Paul's accent or Paul's English is influenced by his French. Particularly his accent, I've heard that. Like, oh yeah, Luke and Amber speak receive pronunciation, but Paul's English sounds a little bit different. Maybe it's influenced by French. It's not, okay? It's definitely not influenced by French. Certainly not his accent. And that's actually one of the interesting things about Paul. He's fluent in both French and English. And when he speaks French, there's basically no trace of an English accent in his speech. And when he speaks English, there's basically no trace of a French accent. So his English and his French really don't influence each other, certainly in terms of the accent, okay? Now, English is really his first language, but French is like, you know, basically native level as well. And his French doesn't influence his English accent, okay? And it works the other way around as well. Like I said, that when he speaks French, there's no trace of an English accent in there at all, which is the thing that kind of blows the minds of his French audiences on YouTube and in his comedy shows. Like, people just can't seem to get their heads around the fact that Paul is English and yet he speaks French with no accent at all. It's like, mind-blowing. You know, there you go. Paul's English accent is not influenced by his French accent, in my experience. It may be influenced by the fact that he's spoken to many people from many different countries in his job over the years, that, you know, he's had lots of experiences of speaking English to people who don't speak English as a first language. And as a result, he's kind of learnt how to communicate in English in a very, very clear way. But his English is completely English sounding. Okay, it's maybe slightly influenced by his Kentish origins, because he's from Kent in the south of England. All right, so I've got some other announcements to make here. First of all, I'm very glad to read the lovely comments about the conversation I had with Christina from Russia. It seems lots of people really enjoyed listening to that. And I agree with what people are saying, which is that Christina seems like a lovely person and she's got like really good English and her voice is lovely. And that's nice. And yeah, she's done really well, obviously, in terms of her English. I'm glad that people enjoyed listening to that. It was also really nice to talk to her myself. Another announcement. So in the last episode, I talked about the LEP Moscow get-together. I said that a few people were planning to get together in Moscow in an anti-cafe in order to just get together and socialise and meet like-minded people who listen to this podcast. By the way, I've found out what an anti-cafe is. Some people wrote comments on the website. An anti-cafe is a kind of cafe that you find in places like in Russia and in some other countries too. I'm sure that it exists in other places. And essentially, an anti-cafe is a place where you go and you pay a certain amount per hour to just be there. And then everything else is free. It's like all you can drink coffee, all the tea you can drink, and they have cakes and cookies and things. And people go and they pay their money and they drink their coffee and eat their cakes and they talk to other people and they read books and they play board games and stuff like that. It sounds brilliant. I love the idea. I love the idea of just sitting around eating cake and playing board games in a public place. It sounds brilliant. So I just wanted to read out a comment, a message that I had from Dimitri. And this is Dimitri's report about how the first LEP Moscow get-together went. So here's Dimitri's message, and it goes like this. Hey, Luke. Well, the very first LEP Moscow get-together has just happened. So he wrote this to me sort of the evening after, you know, in the evening of the day in which they got together. So the first get-together has just happened. It's the first of its kind. Well, actually, Dimitri, it's not the first of its kind because in Tokyo, there was an LEP Lepsters get-together in Tokyo. So it's not exactly the first of its kind, but certainly the first of its kind in Russia, as far as I know. So let me continue reading Dimitri's comment. He said, it's the first of its kind. It seems to be a historical event in Russia. Everything went great. It was awesome to chat in English with like-minded people. Personally, I felt as if I'd known all of the participants for ages. Open, nice, and smiley friends. And I hope somebody else could feel a similar thing. First of all, we got to know each other, which was the main achievement. It was interesting to know when and how everyone had found Luke's English podcast, which episodes were our favourite ones, which experiences in English language learning we'd had. For example, useful internet resources, grammar books, pronunciation, and so on. A couple of pictures and a short audio message from us to you are attached. And everyone listening, you can actually see those photographs on the page for this episode. And I'm going to play you their audio message in a moment. Thanks again and again for that announcement and for actually everything that you do. We hope to provide more listeners with a chance to meet and speak regularly. And one more way to let them know is to friend your group on Facebook with ours. So they have a Facebook page for these get-togethers, and the link you can find on the page here. And you can, if you're considering joining in the next get-together that they have, you can click the Facebook link. And he said, have a nice Monday, Jedi Podmaster. Yours, Dimitri. So that's nice, isn't it? So as I said, you can see the pictures on the website, and I'm now going to play you the audio from their get-together. If I could just find it here on my computer, where is it? Where's the audio? It's just here. This is the message that they recorded. It's only a few seconds long.
Hi, Luke. My name is Sasha.
Hi, Luke. I'm Alexander.
Hello, Luke. I'm Maria.
Hi, Luke. I'm Andrei.
Hi, Luke. I'm Vasily.
Cheers from Alex.
Hi, I'm Pavel.
Hello, I'm Nikita.
Hi, Luke, I'm Dmitry.
Hi, Luke, I'm Vasily.
Hi, Luke, I'm Elena.
Hello, Luke, I'm Nadia.
From Russia, with love!
Nice, from Russia with love. Well, great, I'm really glad that you guys got together. And I just wanted to say to everyone else that if you're thinking of doing this in your town or city or something, then just let me know and I'll give it a quick mention on the podcast. All right, then. Next announcement, the transcript collaboration. I just wanted to say well done to everyone. Lots more people are getting involved in this, and it means that transcripts are being produced nice and quickly. And I would just like to suggest to everyone else, if you've got a little bit of time to kill, if you've got 5 minutes, then you might consider getting involved in this. And I want to say thank you, especially this month, to Antonio for managing everything. You're doing a great job. Thank you very much. There is an email list now for the Orion transcription team. If you just write a comment on the transcript collaboration page on my website, Antonio will get in touch with you and he'll let you know what to do. Make sure that you read the rules of the transcript collaboration before you get in, before you start working on something, okay? Just 5 minutes of your time and you'll find it's a really good experience for your English, and it's fun to be part of the transcription team. I also wanted to mention Daniel Goodson. Daniel, hello, if you're listening. Daniel Goodson does a podcast of his own. Daniel is a Lepster from Switzerland, and he's been listening to the podcast for a few years. I just wanted to let you know that he does his own podcast. So here's another Lepster podcast for you to check out. It's called My Fluent Podcast. He's been doing it for a little while. And basically in this podcast, you can join Daniel in his quest to become better and better at English. And he covers various different subjects relating to his learning experiences with English and how he learns vocabulary and all sorts of things. And not long ago, Daniel interviewed one of the transcript collaboration managers, Piotr from Poland. And it's quite an interesting interview. And I just wanted to suggest that you check it out. You can click the link on the page for this episode in order to listen to it. And it's an interesting conversation between Daniel and Piotr about the benefits of doing transcriptions and the process and how it affects your English and things like that. So check it out. You can also see Daniel's other episodes, and there are some good things to listen to there. Also, on the subject of Lepster podcasts, Zdenek Lukas continues to do his show, and I probably continue to mispronounce his name. But anyway, he continues to do his podcast, which has been going for a few years now. That one is called Zdenek's English Podcast. I haven't mentioned it on the podcast for a while, but it's still going. And recently he's been doing episodes about his experiences studying for the Delta, which is the Diploma in English Language Teaching for Adults, the Delta. And this is a seriously challenging postgraduate qualification in English teaching. I did the Delta like 10 years ago. It was really hard. It looked really, really hard. While I was doing the Delta, I basically didn't have a life. You have to just give up your whole life and focus all of your energy and attention on doing the thing, because it's really hard. No one, if you haven't done it, you won't know. But believe me, it's really tough. And Zdenek's been doing the Delta, and he recorded a few podcasts about his experiences of doing that. Yeah, so I'm really impressed, Zdenek, that you've been doing this, because I know how much of a challenge it is. I don't know. I guess the reason I'm impressed is because English isn't your first language. I don't know if that's patronizing of me to say that. But I imagine it's probably pretty hard work to do all of that academic reading and writing and all that stuff, and to be observed teaching English. But anyway, I think you've done brilliantly well, and whether that's patronizing of me to say, I don't know, but I just wanted to say nice one. And I wanted to say to my listeners, you know, that this qualification that Zdenek's doing is difficult, and it involves not only a lot of writing about linguistics and teaching methodologies, but also plenty of assessed teaching sessions as well. And it's a difficult course with many challenges and many things to learn. And you can actually listen to Zdenek talking about it all on his podcast in some recent episodes. And you can find the link on the page for this episode. Check out Zdenek's English podcast if you want to. And don't forget to join the mailing list for direct access to the page for every episode of my podcast when it's uploaded, and also for any other content that I put up, including any videos that I might start doing with my new camera soon. In fact, I did actually record a video of myself recording the first part of this podcast, the first 10 minutes of the podcast. I did actually record a video of me doing that. I don't know if I'm going to upload it. I mean, it's like, you know, I look a bit tired in the video, and, you know, I checked it. I had a quick look at the results. I look kind of tired. I suppose the reason why, one of the reasons why I haven't done more videos is because, I don't know, really. I feel a little bit self-conscious. I'm actually a bit shy. I know it sounds silly. Does it sound silly? I don't know. But actually, I feel a little bit shy. And when I do a video of myself, I kind of look at the results. I'm like, no, I don't like it. Not sure I like the way it looks. And maybe I'm being too self-conscious. Okay, what the hell? It's stupid. That's, you know, I'm grown up now, and there's no need to think like that anymore, is there? No, of course not. So forget about all that stuff. I'm going to put the video up. So actually, if you do visit the page for this episode, you will see, you should see a video there, which is only available on the website, of me recording the intro to this episode of the podcast. So the first 10 to 12 minutes of this, you can actually see me doing that on video. All right, so check it out. That's for the real fans, if you want to see, you know, what it looks like when I'm doing a podcast. All right, then. So I'll speak to you again on the podcast soon. Thank you very, very much for listening. And I'll speak to you, as I said, I'll speak to you on the podcast soon. Right. Stop, Luke. You've got to stop. Okay. Bye, then. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.